Well, welcome to another class of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be with you on this session. Last time we were together, we began to talk about the second purpose of the church, which was to stop the gates of hell, or as the author said, shut down the gates of hell. And so last week, I told you how the gates of hell can be shut down in your life. The gates of hell have to be shut down in your life before we're able to lead others on how to shut down the gates of hell in their life. It's very simple. We took a whole class to talk about it. It's very simple how to shut the gates of hell down in your life. For that to happen, every trace of sin has to be destroyed. Jesus was responsible for destroying sin and the results of sin. You are responsible for destroying every trace of sin in your life. Very simply, the way we destroy every trace of sin in our life is simply obedience to God's voice and hearkening to God's voice. Hearing God's voice and hearkening to God's voice. In other words, obeying the voice of God. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about how the gates of hell will be shut down in your life. Today, I'm going to talk about why it's possible for that to happen. Without Jesus and him crucified, it would be impossible for that to happen. The author did an excellent job in giving us the whys of why can the gates of hell be shut down in our lives. And so we'll spend this particular class going over that. So if you would turn with me to 1 John, the 3rd chapter and 8th verse, we'll start off. I do a lot of reading out of this particular class because I want to make sure you get these things in your life from the book so that it'll be in your repertoire. You'll have an understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. When you understand something, you operate in it better. When you understand something, you operate in it with more confidence. And so we need to understand the whys. Why is it I'm able to shut down the gates of hell in my life? Why is it I'm able to lead others to shut down the gates of hell in their lives? Why? It's all because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the author did an excellent job, so we're going to go through it. Jesus destroyed all the works of the devil through his incarnate living, him becoming flesh. You know, John, the 1st chapter said, and the word became flesh. So Jesus destroyed all of the works of the devil by him living. What does that mean? Jesus had to become flesh and, watch this, live with the same temptations that we have as humans, overcome them, and then die. So that if you go back, before we go to 1 John, go with me to Matthew's, the 4th chapter. Let's read this. This is very good. Let's go to Matthew's 4th chapter so you can see this. What it meant that Jesus, in his living, destroyed all the works of the devil. Matthew's, the 4th chapter. Let's see. Very familiar scripture. Let's see. What do I want? Where do I want to start? Do I want to start in the 3rd verse? Let's start in the 3rd verse. Let's start in the 3rd verse, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does that mean? That is an apostolic statement. Jesus is telling, first of all, John is doing the right thing and being honorable. And John's like, Jesus, who am I for you to come to me talking about you want me to baptize you? You should be baptizing me. But Jesus, who understands apostolic authority, understands government, understands that he has to allow John to baptize him because that's what God wants. See, the government of God is all about what he wants. And so Jesus is saying, listen, John, you got to do this so that all righteousness can be fulfilled, or the apostolic can be established. Divine order. Then he suffered him. John said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and baptize you. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I love this passage of scripture because here it is, one of the things, Jesus had not done anything yet. Jesus had died on the cross, any of those things. Jesus was just the Son of God, and God was acceptant, was embracing, was embracing Jesus just like that. He hadn't done nothing, but he accepted him just like that. The same thing, God sees the same thing for you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, before you do anything, the first thing he said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Before you do anything, which makes it, watch this. You're going to see Jesus now going to this next chapter, and we're going to see how he was able to do what he was able to do. Watch this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Right after Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit is on him. You see this? God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Right after that, then he was led up of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted of the devil. See, the devil's so dumb. He's so crazy, so ignorant, so... when you see how powerful God is, God in the form of his Son, became flesh, baptized, which is representation of a son or daughter of God. And then the Holy Spirit, who just landed on Jesus, who Jesus became acquainted with, drove him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, Jesus in his living destroyed all the works of the devil. So we about to see Jesus destroy the works of the devil in his life. See, Jesus could not die on the cross for us until he had overcome sin in the flesh himself. This is why we have to get rid of all traces of sin in our lives, so we can shut down the gates of hell before we do it for anybody else. Watch this. Then was Jesus, verse 1 in the 4th chapter, was led up the wilderness of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. Now, Jesus is in the wilderness fasting. What is happening? His physical body is being broken down because not receiving no food. When your physical body breaks down, your mentality, your mental game is broken down. When you don't receive strength in your body, first your physical body goes, then your mental capacity is not as sharp, which gave Jesus chance for his spirit, the very Spirit of God, his Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, to rise up and take over. Watch this. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into to the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. That passage, verses 1 through 11, is the most pivotal passage in the New Testament. Because here it is, Jesus became flesh, became as a man, broke down his body, broke down his mental capacity, so his spirit can take over. Face the devil, the same places where Adam fell, the first Adam, that's why Jesus called the second Adam. The first place where the first Adam fell, the second Adam succeeded, which now has set Jesus up to be the sacrificial lamb, he that knew no sin. Now go to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, the 1 John, the first epistle of John. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Watch this. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And look at the 8th verse. He that committeth sin, or other words, practice sin, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, let's define sin. Let's define what sin is. Sin is any action that separates you from God's will for your life, from God's agenda. That's what sin is. So let's look at this scripture again, and we'll see why the devil sinneth from the beginning. Verse 8, he that practiceth separation from God is of the devil. For the devil practiced separation from God from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, Jesus, the Word became flesh, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus became flesh to destroy the works of the devil. So by Jesus coming and dying on the cross, by Jesus coming, not dying, Jesus became flesh to destroy the works of the devil. So by him coming and becoming flesh, it destroyed everything that Satan had been doing in the earth realm. Golly, that's powerful. Jesus becoming flesh and facing the enemy destroyed. God covered all his bases. Jesus became flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And in that transaction, in Matthew's the 4th chapter, Satan really didn't know who Jesus was. He said, if thou be the Son of God. And Jesus never alluded to him being the Son of God. So God was causing Jesus to face the devil to destroy his works. And Satan didn't even know who Jesus was. Because in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, I think around the 8th verse, it says, if the princes of the world would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They never crucified Jesus. If Satan would have found out who Jesus was, Jesus would still be alive today. We're not going to let him die, because when he dies, he will do what we're going to the B part. When he dies, he will destroy all the power of the devil. Oh, man. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. So Jesus in his living destroyed the works of the devil. Now, Jesus in his dying destroyed all the power of the devil. Go to Hebrews, 2nd chapter. Remember, now, this is why you're able to eradicate every trace of sin out of your life. It's because Jesus has taken care of sin and the results of sin. but he can't take care of the traces in your life. That's why, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. The traces of sin comes from the enemy when he makes suggestions in your life, offer you opportunities, offer you alternative opportunities to the agenda of God, when he offers you alternative ideas to the thoughts of God, when he offers those things to you, that is the beginning or the trace of sin. This is why the Bible says you have to renew your mind on a consistent basis. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to approve or what? Recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, then you can do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Anything else is bringing you away from the will of God. So the traces of sin begins with a thought. Man. It begins with something in your environment that's trying to pull you off of God's instructions, pull you away from God's voice. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. So in his living, so in his dying, he destroyed all the power of the devil. Let's see. Let's watch this. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that Jesus became flesh. In his flesh, in his living, he did what? Destroy the what? Works of the devil. Here we see in verse 14, he says he became himself likewise, took part of the same, became flesh, that through his what? Death, he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That word death does not mean dying as in losing consciousness. It means to be eternally separated from God. To be eternally separated from God. Because whether you know it or not, when you die or you lose consciousness, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. When you lose consciousness, you got to know where you're going. And I hope by you listening to me now, you know where you're going. Jesus, in his death, destroyed the power of Satan to keep you eternally separated from God. So now that I am no longer separated from God, that means I can operate as God operated in the earth. So Jesus' death destroyed all the power of the devil. That's why, I think it's look in Romans 6. Yeah, Romans 6. Go to Romans 6. Romans the 6th chapter. Romans the 6th chapter. Romans the 6th chapter, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus took away the sin nature from us. He condemned it through his dying. Other words, when you're born, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because when you're born the first time, you're born with the sin nature. That's automatic. Because of what Adam and Eve did, you're born with the sin nature. When you enter into the flesh, the sin nature is already there. This is why Jesus, this is why God overshadowed Mary. Because God needed the seed that produced Jesus to be incorruptible. Oh my God. Incorruptible, so that when Jesus would face the enemy in Matthew's the 4th chapter, when he faced him, remember now, his living destroyed all the works of the devil. When he faced him in the natural with the incorruptible seed in him, he was able to overcome the works of the devil, which set him up to now die as a sacrificial lamb for us. When God began to allow them in the Old Testament to offer sacrifices, that was not dealing with sin. It was to cover sin. It was penance. For matter of fact, the law of God is what exposed sin. When God came up with the Ten Commandments, he was just telling the children of Israel how you are separating yourself from me. These behaviors are separating you, from me. These behaviors are separating you from my agenda. That's all the law was. Matter of fact, the law gave power to sin. But Jesus died and took away that power, took away that authority, took away the effects of sin. Look with me in Romans, the 8th chapter. In Romans, the 8th chapter, 3rd verse. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? So verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Are you seeing this? So walking after the spirit, what it means to walk after the spirit. We dealt with that last class. To walk after the Spirit simply means to hear the voice of God and hearken to the voice of God. When you do those two things, you're walking after the Spirit. When you walk after the Spirit, you automatically eliminating every trace of sin. Because remember now, you don't have to deal with the effects of sin, nor do you have to deal with overcoming sin itself. You have to deal with the traces of sin. I deal with the traces of sin by hearing the voice of God and hearkening to the voice of God. All right. So through Jesus living, he destroyed the works of the devil. Through Jesus dying, he destroyed the power of the devil. Watch this. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. My God, with his resurrection, with Jesus coming up out of that grave, Jesus now created, thank you, Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus died, the Bible talks about the curtain was rent in two. That simply represented that the Spirit of God was now free to move around the earth and live on the inside of us as humans. Before, we couldn't do that because we weren't redeemed. We weren't purified. We weren't drenched in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that knew no sin. Because we had the sin nature on us, but the blood of Jesus destroyed the sin nature. So because the Spirit of God is now free to be on the inside of us as his temple, we no longer have to build a temple for him. We are his temple. So Jesus, when he resurrected, he destroyed the presence of the devil. So therefore, we don't have to go to the presence of God anymore. The presence of God is with us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Watch this. So when Jesus resurrected from the grave, it caused us now to have the ability to have an eternal connection to God. We're no longer separated from God by sin. Watch this, verse 55. Jesus, the Apostle Paul writing and talking about when Jesus got to the grave, he said, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. See that? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 39. Jesus talking, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So Jesus is differentiating himself, separating himself, or making himself different. And when he died and got up with all power in his hand, there's a change that took place. There's something that happened when he died, when he rose from the grave. When he rose from the grave, never to die anymore, he became subject to the elements of the earth again. But when God raised him up from his glory, satanic power became paralyzed. I love that what the author said that. Jesus risen from the dead, never to die anymore, or become subject to the elements of the earth again. When God raised him up in his glory, satanic power became paralyzed. That's what the scripture, I think it's in Philippians 2. Let me see if I can find it. Philippians, let me find it real quick. Let's see. Let me find it real quick. Where he made a show of them openly. Let's see. Show. Let me find this real quick. We're in class, right? Let's see. It's in Philippians, I think. Philippians. Let's see. Let me find it. Let me tell you. Somebody probably, y'all probably screaming it at me now. Let's see. Oh, it's Colossians. Actually, Colossians. Go to Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. One book over from Philippians. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, see that? You see that? And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus got out the grave, Satan immediately recognized who Jesus was, because he had never seen somebody return from eternal separation from God. Satan had never seen that. When Jesus rose from the dead with all power in his hands, Satan had never experienced that. At that moment, he knew he was defeated. So now Satan's objective is to keep us blinded. Now you understand, to keep us blinded so that we won't recognize that he is powerless. Wow. Let me close with this one. Through his exaltation, you see this? Through his resurrection, he's drawn out of the presence of the devil. Through his indestructible life in us, he destroys all the seed of the devil. Go to Galatians 2. See, this is why Jesus said, you're clean through the words that I've spoken to you. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why Hebrews 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. This is why Romans 12:2 is so important, because you have to renew your mind with the word of God so that the Christ that is living on the inside of you can become conscious to your carnal mind. The Christ that's living on the inside of you can become alive to your carnal mind, which means it prepares you to recognize the voice of God. Because remember now, how to destroy the traces of sin in my life. I destroy the traces of sin in my life. If I can destroy the traces of sin in my life, that means sin, I won't commit any sin that will cause me to miss what God has for me. When I destroy every trace, by how? Hearing the voice of God and hearkening to the voice of God. It's just that simple. Hearing the voice of God and hearkening to the voice of God. So by his indestructible life in us, we destroy all the what? Seeds or the traces. His indestructible life. Watch this. Galatians 2:20. This is about to make sense for you. Galatians 2:20. Watch what it says. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm in the flesh. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The indestructible life of Christ is on the inside of me. And the life, watch this, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the assignment of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So because Christ died on the cross, I'm able to allow his indestructible life to live on inside of me. Now watch this. Watch what, see, we read that, but watch what verse 21 says. Verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness cannot come by the law. Righteousness cannot come by me obeying the law. Righteousness can only come from Jesus Christ and him crucified, which empowers me to live above the law. Oh, my goodness. It empowers me to live above the law. What it means to live above the law? Does it mean I'm not going to do the Ten Commandments? That's not what that means. Does it mean I can live any kind of way and I'm still righteous? That's not what that means. What it means to live above the law is simply this. I'm able to hear the voice of God and hearken to the voice of God. Now, if I'm able to hear the voice of God and hearken to the voice of God, hear and hearken, listen and do, right? Listen and do. If I can do those things, then if I'm listening, if I can hear I am that I am and do what I am that I am is telling me to do, that means I'm already above the law set by I am that I am, because I am that I am and I am one. I hope you caught that. That's what it means to live above the law. When you can hear the voice of God and do what God is asking you to do, you are already above the set law that God was using to expose the sin in the Israel, in the children of Israel's lives. As simple as that. When you do what God is asking you to do, you already are above the law. The law has no hold on you. Why do I have to pay attention to the Ten Commandments when I'm doing what God is asking me to do? Because what God is asking me to do is going to lead me away from temptation. It's not going to cause me to fall in a trap of the law. Because I'm doing what God is asking, because I know him personally. I spend time with him. So I don't have to rely on the law to tell me how to behave. He can tell me how to behave. He can tell me when a trap is coming. He can tell me when I need to avoid a pitfall. He can tell me who to get out of my culture, who to get out of my environment. He can tell me where I need to leave. He can tell me where I need to go. Because when I hear his voice, I'm already above the law. I hope you're seeing this. Through his indestructible life in us, he destroyed all the seeds of the devil. That's enough. The next week, we will deal with the last one. Through his exaltation, he destroyed all the dominion of the devil. And then we'll jump to the third purpose of the church, which is to extend the kingdom without limitations. So we'll deal with that next week. Be blessed.